Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Lori Wygan-Jackson. She is the founder and president of Utility Advantage. It's a consulting firm in Woodstown, New Jersey. Lori, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, thanks for joining me. I'm glad. I'm happy you took the time. I want to talk to you about what New Jerseyans can and should be doing about what New Jersey businesses can and should be doing about energy costs. But first, I'd like to hear a little bit about you and your business. My understanding is you've been in the industry for more than 30 years. What else should viewers know about Utility Advantage?
Well, yes, I started my career here in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey, born and raised, and got my degree in engineering and started working at the gas utility company, first woman engineer hired by New Jersey Natural Gas Company. And since then, have really focused on building a career around helping businesses and governments be more efficient and establish policies and practices to use less energy, to use clean energy, and to help them better manage the risks associated with energy markets and their operations. So I formed Utility Advantage in 2003. We're going to celebrate our 20th anniversary next year. And we've got a deep bench of energy professionals that work with a broad range of clients around the country to help them to do better in terms of energy use and energy cost management.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about that. There's been a lot of the discussion that I've had with business owners and executives around the state centers on the state's energy master plan and what to do about that. I'm curious about what you're hearing from your clients and what are you advising them now, specifically about the some of the mandates that seem to be on their way from the state?
Yes, you know, it's very interesting time for us here in New Jersey with such a big focus on reducing carbon and that being tied to climate change. And so energy obviously is a key element. How we use energy, how we produce energy ties right into carbon emissions. And so what we're looking at are things that sound so far away when we think 2030 or 2050, you know, well, that's just not something that a business owner typically is focused on. They're focused on today or maybe the next couple of years. You know, what's going to impact my business? What can I do to ensure that we're managing those risks or taking advantage of those opportunities as they're presented? So what I would say to businesses today is that there are some things that are changing fundamentally that they should be aware of. Number one is the rising cost of energy. So we've seen things like rising gasoline prices, and that's really one aspect of energy. But when you take a look at natural gas and electricity, the drivers for those are very different than your oil-based petroleum products that are tied to things like OPEC, for example. So when we look at natural gas, which is predominantly, you know, a domestic product, and we look at electricity, which is produced in this region, you know, the marginal production for electricity is natural gas sourced. The natural gas price really matters to us in terms of our cost of electricity and natural gas. And we've been through a period of 10 years of very low and stable natural gas prices that our businesses in the state have benefited from.
Right.
Natural gas prices have been in the $2 to $4 range per decatherm for like a decade.
Right.
But this year, and certainly our expectation is going forward, that we're seeing for that same, you know, 12-month strip, prices in the $7 to $10 range and a lot of volatility.
Okay.
And so you're talking about double, tripling the cost of that commodity. That'll translate into higher prices, 20, 30, 40% increases in prices. So businesses need to know that. They need to prepare for it. And they need to start implementing strategies to use less energy or less fossil fuel-based energy. And those are really two areas that we would focus on.
Okay. So, and you can help, your firm, Utility Advantage, can help with those kinds of issues and provide the kind of assistance that I'm hearing these folks need.
Definitely. So, you know, we're very experienced in the energy markets. You know, New Jersey is part of something called the PJM grid. So that grid actually serves electricity from Illinois to New Jersey and then down as far south as West Virginia. It's the largest power grid in the country.
Okay.
And so that experience that we have with those power markets, with natural gas markets, and then locally, the state of New Jersey, as we talked about with the Energy Master Plan, has provided some of the best incentives in the country to promote distributed energy resources, that's, you know, on-site renewable energy and energy efficiency. And what that means is really replacing old inefficient equipment, and maybe not even that old, but right, inefficient equipment with new technology that's much more efficient. Energy efficiency saves both in terms of energy use and cost and in carbon emissions, right? Because you're not using those kilowatt hours or those decatherms. So there's a lot of investment in programs right now from the state of New Jersey, from the utility companies themselves, to promote both facility audits, which we do. We come in, we take a look at the facility, we look at the operations, we look at how you're using energy, what the cost is for your energy, and then we come in with recommendations of what you can do to become more efficient, to better manage that risk, to procure electricity or natural gas more competitively, and to perhaps either purchase or install some on-site renewable electric generation, maybe some battery storage. We also look at electrification of vehicle fleets, really anything that's tied to how you're using energy at your site.
Okay, there are a couple things I want to dig down a little bit on. But first of all, on the issue of incentives from the state, that's one of the concerns that I hear most often, is that what businesses are looking at is a major investment for many of them, and they're wondering if there's help available. It sounds like my understanding is there is help available. I'm curious if you have experience with some of those programs, with some of those incentives. If so, which ones are the most important or the most useful, and how are they working?
Sure. So we've had an increase in investment in these programs. And so that means that we're in a position right now where, and I'm sorry, I should have asked you about this.
That's okay.
The dog is barking. Do you hear the dog barking?
That's fine. I've had that. My dog is fortunately sleeping right next to me. So we may have heard him too, but that's fine.
I'm believing that I'm getting a delivery from PetSmart. It's probably happening right now. And Okay, so should we just start answering that question again?
Sure. The question is about incentives, the kinds of incentives available from the state, what the most useful ones are, and how those programs are working. Are they working the way they're supposed to, and are they something that businesses really should take advantage of?
Yes. Yeah, so the state of New Jersey has a significant investment, an increasing investment in these programs, especially around energy efficiency. Those programs really span looking at different kinds of energy consumers. So there are small business programs designed specifically for businesses that have, you know, lower thresholds of energy consumption. And those are direct install programs where basically you work with one contractor that's approved in the program, and they'll do a comprehensive audit and replacement of equipment with incentives of, you know, 60%, maybe more on the total cost. I mean, that's a great incentive. And then the rest being financed. And so the savings are paying for the financing. So really it's no out-of-pocket cost to that business owner. That small business direct install program is one that every small business owner should be looking at.
Okay.
For heating and cooling equipment upgrades, lighting upgrades, refrigeration, cooking equipment. It really covers a broad range of equipment. Then for larger energy users, there's a number of programs, starting with, you know, facility auditing. They'll pay companies like ours to come out and do facility audits for those facilities, and then identify energy conservation measures, come back with an ROI on a combination of projects, and then help finance that as well. So incentives and financing right now should really make it so that any business could participate in these programs, regardless of where they are in terms of their access to capital. So I would encourage businesses to really consider reaching out to us, finding out about these programs, seeing which one fits best, and taking advantage of the incentives while they're there.
Okay. All right. Now, as part of the master plan, there are some pretty aggressive goals that, are set in there in terms of how reducing reliance on fossil fuels basically to zero by 2050. Are there things that businesses should be doing now to get ready for that? It's less than 30 years from now, are there steps that a business owner or corporate executive should be taking now in preparation for those things that start to kick in?
There are. And so, you know, it really starts with data management, understanding how you're using energy. And I'm sorry, this is just going to be really difficult. Give me like 5 minutes.
I guarantee you, you hear it more than I do, so don't worry about it.
I just can't concentrate. She's 150 pounds, and she is going bonkers as soon as the PetSmart guy leaves. So just give me a second. Okay. I'm going to put her in my bedroom.
Hold on. This, folks, is the perils of remote work. This has happened before, and I'm sure it will happen again. So we'll just wait until we get the canine under control.
I'm sorry about that. You know, I just had to figure that that this would happen right when we were recording.
Right. No, listen, this is remote work. I'm at home myself. And as I said, fortunately, my dog, she got her food delivery yesterday. So we're not, she's pretty calm now. But that could change.
What are the odds? It's one delivery in like 4 days and it has to come right now. And my husband isn't here to like control the dog. So it's the worst scenario for me, but
it happens. No worries. Okay, so I'm sorry. We left off starting to talk about the goals that the master plan has set. Mandates are going to start kicking in. What should businesses be preparing for? What kind of steps should businesses be taking now to get ready for those as they start to come down the pike?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, the first thing is really understanding how you're using energy and what you're paying for it. So you'd be surprised how many businesses just, you know, they pay their utility bills, they keep the lights on, they keep the business going, but they think of it as a sunk cost and they're not really thinking about, well, how could I do better?
Right.
Maybe they're thinking about that in terms of purchasing from a third party supplier. They checked off that box and they're done and they never think about it other than when they get that bill every month. So the first step is really understanding how much energy you're using, when you're using it, and what it's costing you. Part of that understanding comes from looking at rate structures, things like, do I have demand charges as part of my rate structure? And if I do, what does that mean? And how could I better manage that? Looking at, again, the use of energy and equipment that's using energy, could I do something to upgrade that equipment so that it uses less energy? Okay. So there are definite steps that should be taken. Frankly, most businesses don't have someone on staff unless they're a very large business who has the experience and the knowledge to really assess and understand these things. And so I would encourage businesses to reach out to energy consultants. Utility Advantage is a New Jersey registered and bonded energy consultant. You know, reach out to us and find out really what we can do for you. We have data solutions. We have a platform that gives our customers access to their data securely 24/7. It's updated every month automatically with billing data, and we can even capture what we call interval data, which shows hour by hour usage of how you're using electricity at your facility. When we can get that kind of data, and that is relatively inexpensive to obtain, then we can really start to understand how your facility is using energy and the things that you can do to do better at managing that use and that cost.
Okay.
So data is really the foundational point. Benchmarking is another thing. And I know, you know, part of what got us talking in the first place was this new benchmarking rule that's come out in the state of New Jersey.
Right. So that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about. So by all means, go ahead.
Yeah. New Jersey has mandated for buildings 25,000 square feet and above. And that's really a starting point that.
Oh, we've lost your audio, I'm afraid. Laurie, we've lost your audio. Still not there. There, it's coming. Again, this is the perils of using technology to try to do things that we hadn't been doing before. Nope.
Sorry, that was me again.
Ah, there we go. You're back.
I honestly do very well in these. This is like, I'm embarrassed at this point.
No worry, no worries. Believe me, these sorts of things happen a lot. So by all means, we started to talk about the benchmarking for 25,000 square feet.
Yep. Yes. So the state of New Jersey established a rule based on legislation that was passed to require businesses to benchmark.
Right.
The reason we do benchmarking is that it establishes an understanding of where a building sits currently in terms of its efficiency. The metric is energy use intensity, typically energy per square foot use. And so where does that building sit in relationship to itself over time? So benchmarking you can use to establish a baseline and then track, am I getting better over time with my energy use intensity? It can also be used to look at how do I compare with others that are similar and in a similar area. So for the state of New Jersey, how would, for example, my office building compare to other office buildings in the state? Am I average? Am I above average or below average? So benchmarking is basically a tool that's used to help businesses understand where they are today, but ultimately to become more efficient in the way they're using energy, less intensive energy use over time.
Okay.
For New Jersey, it's buildings initially starting with buildings 25,000 square feet and greater.
Okay.
And so that mandate requires, it's a regulatory mandate that requires compliance for reporting that metric by October of next year. So we have less than a year to get this work done. They utilize a tool that's part of the EPA's Energy Star program. And in fact, our data management system has a direct API into the Energy Star Portfolio Manager system. So when our customers are utilizing our data management solution, we're automatically benchmarking for them into that program. That metric is demonstrated in the platform, and you're able to see how it changes over time and then can easily report that in for compliance purposes. We have engineers that can certify that ranking and provide that into the state. So the benchmarking program, it's a good program to really help businesses understand how they're using energy. And that's, part of that first steps that we talked about earlier, that, you know, what are the beneficial things that businesses can do today? And one of them is to understand how they're using energy. Benchmarking gets them there.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. What I hear you saying is that the first step that any business needs to do is learn as much as they can about how they're using energy and what goes into that. Is that an accurate way of describing it?
And that's correct. And frankly, again, a lot of businesses don't have, staff that can really do that. They're short staffed. Everybody's working on it, with resources being utilized as much as possible. So one of the best ways to do that is to work with a firm that has that expertise and the tools to make that easy for you to then grasp, oh, okay, I can see now in a visualized way versus just looking at a lot of numbers. So the visualization of data, I mean, whether we're talking energy or other aspects of business, is definitely where we are today in terms of technology. So utilizing those tools to make it very easy to understand and then make decisions in terms of where to go forward.
Okay. Now you also mentioned electric vehicles, and I asked this question really, because I don't know the answer. There is an impression that I have just from what I've read, and it's anecdotal and totally impressionistic, that right now the idea of using electric vehicles to an extent that would be necessary, for example, for fleets and things like that, really isn't feasible because of the charging infrastructure and the lack of charging infrastructure around the state. Is that an accurate impression, or is it better than that? And is that something that businesses should be thinking about if they rely on things like trucks and cars and things like that to move themselves or their products around?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And it really depends. It depends on how far you have to travel.
Right.
So if you have a fleet that operates locally, if you have, you know, police vehicles, school buses, transit, that's local transit buses, if you have at your business trucks that are going just around your operations, or just locally within a community and they come back in the evening, those vehicles are all good candidates for electrification.
Okay.
It's when we start looking at having to go cross states, so that interstate transportation, then you're really looking at the infrastructure not being there yet,
okay,
but evolving over time. So right now in the state of New Jersey, we have over 5 programs for different kinds of vehicles. We have the New Jersey DEP has a program. The BPU has a program. The utilities have their own incentive for charging infrastructure. The EDA has a program for medium and heavy duty vehicles, $25,000 to $100,000 in incentives. And that's limited to businesses that are within a 10-mile radius of Newark, Camden, or New Brunswick. But that's mm-hmm. still a lot of communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, so these programs are providing grants, you know, money that doesn't have to be paid back. And, you know, that's a great way to be able to move into electrification of vehicles and to then start, you know, reducing your carbon footprint by doing that. So again, you know, localized vehicles that are used locally, mm-hmm. you know, within a you know, 100, 200 mile a day
okay.
usage, or that could come back and charge readily. I mean, there are fast charging stations.
Certainly.
You can recharge a vehicle pretty mm-hmm. quickly. So, you know, what we can do is we can develop an electrification plan, looking at your current fleet, how old it is, what the fleet's used for. And even if you only have like 2 vehicles, we would still take a look at it and say, okay, you know, these vehicles would qualify, these make sense, or this doesn't make sense. Or you know what, right now, because you're traveling interstate with your vehicles, let's wait until the infrastructure is developed. But we'll keep you apprised as that happens, knowing the footprint of travel that your vehicles are going and the distances that they're traveling. So, you know, okay. technology continues to advance. That's probably one of the most important messages here is if you get an answer today, you shouldn't then take it and write it off forever. Technology is advancing so quickly. It's advancing faster than we're actually implementing it.
Okay.
So, you know, that's another value, right, of working with someone who's very in tune with what's happening with technology to be able to come back and say, hey, I know we looked at this a year ago. This was the ROI. We can come back now. This is a proven technology. Utilize this. There's incentives. And here's your ROI, and it fits your criteria, for
okay.
example.
Well, that's interesting to know that's something that the businesses could be thinking about right now. Okay, well, you've been very generous with your time. There's one more question I wanted to ask before I let you go, and that's sort of a broader question about energy costs in New Jersey. I've been told over and over again that that it's really expensive here. In fact, in a discussion we've had about bringing manufacturing, for example, back to New Jersey, after the pandemic, we saw all the vulnerabilities in supply chain and things like that. And one of the main barriers, I'm told, is the cost of energy. First of all, in your experience, is that a barrier? And if so, are the kinds of things you've been talking about ways to lower that barrier?
Well, I have done business across the country, and parts of New Jersey do have some of the highest rates in the country.
Okay.
I've done a lot of business in California. California has the highest rates in the country.
Okay.
California still has industry. In fact, what California as a state is like the fourth largest industry in the world or you know, in terms of their economy. So I would say that where industry being local has advantages, then those energy costs are not necessarily going to prevent that industry from developing. At the same time, I've done a lot of work in Texas. Texas has some of the lower utility rates, or at least they did up until that winter issue where their rates right. have gone up fairly dramatically since mm-hmm. then. But it did attract and still attracts a lot of business. And Texas is another, you know, kind of it was like recession proof in terms of their economy. And part of that, I think, was driven by lower electric rates. So to answer the question, you know, New Jersey, we're a small, extremely densely populated state.
Right.
Bringing industry in, you know, we really have to look at where are those areas that it makes sense to develop industry. We have areas where industry had left the state and those jobs went with it. It would be great to be able to develop industry in those areas, help those economies, help those communities come back. And I think that what we're doing right now between energy efficiency and renewable energy and electrification of transportation, the wind port in Salem County, all of these things can help drive the economy and bring those jobs, but also support manufacturing, because as we do more of this, it will put downward pressure on our utility rates. So some of the best things we can do, especially our energy efficiency that drives down both the overall use of electricity, but also that peak demand for electricity that is so expensive. You know, if we can shave the peak of our state's requirements, PSE&G, JCP&L, their rates will go down. So I think, you know, there's no sort of magic wand that we can just say, yeah, we do this and everything's better. But when you add these different opportunities together, you add the efforts together, it absolutely will help put downward pressure on what would otherwise be continued rising electric rates.
Okay. Well, even though you don't have a magic wand, this was a really good discussion and a lot of information. I hope you'll come back and share some more insights as we get down the road on some of these issues.
I would love to do that. We'd love to share some of the experiences that we've had with businesses in New Jersey as well. So maybe there'll be an opportunity to do that in the future.
I hope so. Lori Wiegand-Jackson, founders, president, and CEO of Utility Advantage. Thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.